Chef Ro Khan Show with Anna DeBlanco for another day of broadcast insolence.
Woo! When we move out of the Tribune Tower and you move over to the new building, are you going to have people wipe down your pens and taste your food for you? Maybe you have your own personal toilet. Do you have any demands like that, Ro, over there?
I have all of that here.
It's going to be me.
I assume that the same sort of things are going to happen over there.
Good.
Well, there's definitely a private toilet.
There is a private toilet. It's not as good a private toilet, though, I would like to say, as the private toilet we have
huge.
Over here. I know.
Oh, that's right. You guys had some good stuff.
We have a very great one.
And on 7, there were some nice male toilets.
Oh, you guys are having private bathrooms. Meanwhile, me and Kevin here have to share a mic.
So just to let you know, I mean, everybody, you know, wonders on the radio what is actually happening in the studios.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody truly cares, but we'll tell you anyway. So Anna and I are still at the Street Tide Studio here at Michigan Avenue in Heaven, the mm-hmm. Allstate Showcase Studio.
That's right, right along Michigan Avenue.
And I cannot reveal the name of the new studios.
Oh, we have a new
atop,
name?
Oh, yes.
I don't even know. Okay.
High atop the River Skyline of Chicago. And the skyline of Chicago, actually, I might have just given something away. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the point is that those
studios.
Don't guess. Okay. There's sponsorships involved.
Did not know.
But it's a really good name, Anna.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the point is that Kevin, Violetta, and Judy are all over at the new studios broadcasting from there. Now, Kevin, this is going to be the debut of his brand new sports studio over there, which is gorgeous. Actually, you know what's really funny? It's like when you move into a new house when the kids, they want the exact same size room.
measure it out.
Right.
Like, wait a minute, why does he have that?
Yeah.
Why is she just closer to the bathroom?
Exactly what happened. Exactly what happened with us is that we had to figure out who's going to get the same size studio. So literally engineering had to make the exact same size studio for both Kevin has one and Violetta has one.
And the two millennials who are easily distracted have views looking, as you just mentioned, Ro, over the river and just beautiful sight lines. So
yes.
We won't be distracted at all. I promise.
Between the phones and the views.
Is interesting because my back is to the view and I can handle it.
Uh-oh.
Unlike you two.
Just started something.
That's funny because they sit on either side of Judy in their own private little booths.
She's in the middle. She's here to control us, I guess.
Yeah.
She'll get you to behave.
And I'd like to point out I have the biggest space.
That is true.
And then we will either be just to your left or to your right in the main big studios that flank the newsroom, which is
your views are stunning.
Yes. We're going
to
be.
But the important story today is Kevin's in my little booth with me. Trying to share my mic.
Classic technical difficulties. You know, first day in the new studio, a little hiccup here and there. So
I just rode over here the two blocks. I had to catch a ride with our chief engineer,
limo.
Bill Murdoch, who is
on the golf cart.
Been doing all of this right on the golf cart, goes back and forth. He said, no, it's going to work. I said, did you test it out? Did you test Kevin out today? Oh, no, it's working. But then he has to go up, and he's literally got to climb up on top of a transmitter pole at the Hancock right now and redirect a dish.
Oh.
A microwave dish back at the... It's a long story, but he's got to do it.
Be careful, Bill.
It's a long story.
I know. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, and I'm calling him, and I'm all like, wait, Kev's not working. He's dangling off of literally 110 stories in the air.
You're like, drop what you're doing. What did you hear?
Yeah, we need you to
Kevin and Violetta can't share.
No, we can't.
It's How would you possibly ask
hot.
That?
The sun's gonna...
Everything was working fine in their defense, and the engineers have been great. But then about 15 minutes before the show started, of course, something happens. So, classic.
Well, stay tuned.
Grow strong.
We're moving over on Monday. It's the first official series of shows. Steve Cochran starts it all off at 6 o'clock in the morning. Actually, I think that the business show before Steve, Grisantia's show, starts at 5 from there.
Morning bell.
Morning bell.
Maybe we can all do the show together in this little traffic booth.
No,
maybe
we
give
can't.
That a try.
You should go use.
I can't believe you both can fit in there.
I like how they're grabbing the microphone back and
know,
forth
right?
from each other.
I know, right? It's my turn.
Kevin, you can share my mic if you'd like.
Oh,
thanks,
really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm an adult. I'm an adult, so it should work well.
He doesn't even have room for a chair in here. He has to stand the whole time.
That's because you both have really small rooms. Because because by the time it was done, we couldn't make one bigger than the other. After all of your complaining that you two did,
we'll make it work.
All right.
Okay. Good.
All right, coming up.
I need the mic now because there's important things coming up.
Oh, it's my turn. There's a story. Honest to God, yeah. I showed this to Anna just a few minutes ago. With all the crap that's going on in the world and North Korea and everywhere else, there's a story trending on NBC News today on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. I don't even subscribe. I don't know how this ended up about who is the rightful king of Serbia. I'm like, in all of the things that are happening in the world, How does that get any ranking at all? Who cares who the rightful king of Serbia is, and why is that a trending story?
I don't know. I don't understand what's going on.
What? Yes.
Who is it? Is it Bronco?
No.
Oh.
I didn't recognize the name. There was a guy in the western suburbs here for years who claimed he was the rightful king of Serbia. I don't know if this is the same guy, but he's moved back to Belgrade, and he's sitting in a palace somewhere that apparently was the king, Dickie George, or whatever the guy's name is. I think that was a quarterback in the 70s. I don't know. What did you know the name of the rightful king, the king of Serbia?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah,
the Serb. No. Okay, let's see.
It's like Alexander?
Yeah.
Peter the First is what I got.
Last rightful king. Yeah. Then he got kicked out after the Nazis took over.
Right.
And then he has a son, Alexander.
It's almost like Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
But not.
And they're saying make Serbia great again because they want to bring their king back. I mean, somebody wants to bring their king back. I see things blowing up. That's all I know.
Wait, are they going to bring back all of Yugoslavia or just Serbia?
Well, this is the king of Serbia, and I don't know how that all fits in. I don't think the Croatians are going to be so happy about that.
Mm-mm.
Or the Bosnians.
Well, if we run it, we'll be okay.
Montenegrins aren't going to be very happy about it. I just kind of imagine. I just want to know, how's Slovenia going to be with all of this?
They seem to be satisfied with everything going
on. Don't worry, I'm taking Boy back, and we are going back to Slovenia. There will not be any problems.
It seems like Serbia's efforts to get in the EU is not working. If they're bringing back the king.
There might be openings. There's an opening in NATO, and there's an opening in the G7 if Serbia would like to apply.
I just don't think they follow the rules really well on what it takes.
All right. All right, let's find out what's happening now. Speaking of rules, what's happening with Judy Pilak's news at the bottom of the hour?
And then there's this, 100 events, 19 days, one epic food festival. Visit ctfoodbowl.com for the ultimate Chicago food experience this August.
All right. Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom.
I have some instant feedback for you on your previous segment.
Yes.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
My wife, who I often give grief to for rarely watching me on TV or listening to me on the radio, just texted, "The boys and I really tried to listen, but you lost us when you started talking about the Serbian king. We are out."
No interest in that? Oh.
Did we just cut his mic?
Yeah.
I'm just saying that with all the things in the world, you know, your phone, it gives you a lot of news now, right?
Yeah.
You look at it, it's got all these push notifications, and then you go to, if you have Apple, you have that N on the screen, and you press that, and it gives you stuff. And apparently it's also telling you things that you want to see, you know, like it kind of looking at an algorithm and trying to figure it out. And I don't know, is it listening to Violetta Podramedic doing the traffic and then deciding it's got to send me the story about the rightful king of Serbia?
No, I think it's from all of your searches of Blagojevich.
Oh,
perhaps that is why he's going to be sprung. Milorad Blagojevich will be taking his rightful place.
As a rightful king of Serbia?
Yes.
You know what? We will trade him for a king to be named later.
Sure.
We will send him over there. Do you get the sense that he's not going to be pardoned now after all the Illinois delegation Republicans have taken a shot?
Well, I think you're overestimating the power of the Illinois Republican delegation to influence what President Trump either does or doesn't do. Why would he issue a commutation and interrupt his news cycle? After his summit there.
This isn't the time.
Yeah, this isn't the time.
We won the Korean War today. Did you know that?
It's a fabulous meeting.
Yeah.
Very
mission
talented,
accomplished.
Kim Jong-un.
Yes, yeah. I think he's coming home on an aircraft carrier with a giant banner that says mission accomplished.
He loves his people. I love my people. Pull.
And the views.
Yes.
Have you seen the views?
Now,
the beaches are great, too.
Now,
was the other
we
comment.
Should explain that video that came out. that apparently was the result of some deep analysis of Kim Jong-un, and perhaps now we're being told there were previous conversations between the president and Kim Jong-un. It's interesting. Phone conversations. That he's a big movie fan. Well, I think Dennis Rodman told us that. Yeah, I think we knew that. So they made a movie trailer for him of, you know, what it would look like if North Korea joined, you know, this League of Nations, you know, that they want to do the right thing by their people and not threaten the world with nuclear weapons and blah, 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 blah. And they said, look at these fabulous beaches. And they shot this video on Miami Beach next to the Trump properties. And they said, now look at this. Look at what you could have. You could, for the low, low price of denuclearization, you could have a Trump resort right here.
Did you catch the name of the production company?
Destiny Productions. Right?
Destiny Productions.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The Washington Post went and called Destiny Productions in L.A. and they knew nothing of it. So I don't know if it was.
There's a lawsuit happening there. Well, I wonder who did that. You know, there has to be some. It was, you know, done by somebody who does movie trailers because it was edited like a movie trailer.
It reminded me of The Apprentice when he would show his, you know, the videos he would show the contestants to explain to them what, you know, they would control or what they would do
with
their project, what they would take over.
It's a good setup video.
Like when Bill Rancic won, he got to look at the Trump Tower in Chicago and how it was going to be built. There's a really glitzy video of that.
Maybe Bill Rancic did the video. Maybe who knows?
Hey, so Kim Jong Un, in exchange for the nukes, will get a condo at the Trump Tower, Miami Beach, and a thing of Bill Rancic cigars, and perhaps a reservation at RPM.
Hold on,
you have to give it more than that.
Destiny Pictures presents a story of opportunity, a new story, a new beginning, one of peace, two men. Leaders, one destiny.
Oh, come on. They couldn't get a better voiceover actor for that?
It really was not good. I thought the same thing. But I love how they juxtaposed the Miami Beach sort of, with all the beautiful glitzy real estate with the propaganda of videos of, like, death and destruction and horror and warplanes and missiles. Did you notice that?
Yeah,
I said, we have two choices here.
It had definite propaganda film qualities, including, you know, there was kind of that hint of the hue of orange, like a fireball.
Yeah.
Whenever the announcer would kind of shift back to what would happen if these two powerful men did not agree, it would go back to, like,
right.
In a world that is as orange as Donald Trump's hair.
And this was, when I first saw it on social media, I thought, no, this has got to be like a Colbert bit.
Uh-huh.
Like,
right, everybody thought it was an onion bit.
The White House didn't put this out. They didn't really play this, did they?
They really did.
And it may have worked.
Right. I mean,
That's the craziest thing about it all.
You know, at the end of the day, as it pertains to North Korea, which I don't think turns out to be our biggest threat anymore, it appears to be Canada, North Korea, I don't think we're any worse off today and we're probably better off today than we were 2 days ago with North Korea.
I think that's probably true. I would say so.
So we'll just have to see. Now, I mean, he did kind of promise some things that are going to tick off Japan and South Korea.
Yeah.
Which is the whole war games thing.
And I'm a little worried that when they do the closing documents on the Trump condo, Miami Beach, and he's going to be sitting across from Kim Jong-un, and like when the inspection fee comes up, you know, if there's kind of like some damage, you know, some repainting, those deals always screw up that final closing.
I'm going to walk away right now. I'm not going to pay your cleanup fee.
What is it? What is this HOA fee?
I'm not going to pay. This was not in document.
It's true. Little things like that can break the whole deal down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you gotta be cautious of in this situation.
Saltwater pool, not chlorine?
Yes. I think there's going to be a problem. At the end of the day, there's going to be a problem. But today, there isn't one. And maybe Kim Jong-un, maybe he likes the whole thing. Maybe we'll be, you know, paying him off. Maybe he goes, maybe he flies straight. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just have to see. We're not going to get a full denuclearization in our lifetime, but we are going to get something, it appears. And he's going back there right now to work on it and to, you know, murder some of his other relatives and the people. And that one camera guy who kept lagging behind.
Yes.
You know, there was one guy.
He was there,
Who kept getting lost from the other camera guys. That guy's getting executed when he gets home.
Well, and did you see when he was giving the tour, when he was showing Kim Jong-un the limo, the beast, there was that one camera guy who got kind of right up in Secret Service, like picked him up and moved him away.
Yeah, you can't take a picture of that, sir.
And it also looked like, as you know, the Secret Service agent holding the door was like, geez, Mr. President, should I open the door and show him? And so the Secret Service agent opens the door. Kim Jong-un kind of takes a step closer to the limo, like to poke his head in. And if you look at the video, I looked at it like 15 times, Secret Service agent starts to close the door. Like, dude, don't get in there.
Yeah. Well, Not so close.
I just, you know, it's like a crazy thing. I mean, who's, at what point in the conversation did somebody go, you know what we need to do? You got to come take a look at my car.
See my ride.
I mean, who's, where does that come from?
Show off the plane. I mean, what else?
Yeah. I mean, if you want a guy who's like known for his chemical weapons, his biological weapons that make you sick 12 hours later, I mean, do you want that guy getting in your car? He did not read briefing books on this. I mean, but seriously, he goes, wait till you see the car. It is sick. I just got it. Automatic transmission.
Now, where do I get the 12 guys to run alongside?
Right, exactly. Oh, my God.
I love that.
That's going to be next. Yeah. I swear to God. You know, we're doing a military parade in Washington now, and now we're going to do that. He's going to have those guys sprinting.
Borrow some ideas from the dictator.
I like how he does it. All right, I know you got a big update coming up tonight. Is it
4 o'clock? It's been 2 weeks and a day since we tragically lost a Chicago Fire Department diver who was trying to save the life of another. We've got some new information on the investigation into what happened. Nothing conclusive just yet, but some new details will happen
for you. 4 o'clock.
WGN investigates at 4.
Thank you.
Already.
Judy Pilak has the WGN News right now, brought to you by AppleChevy.com. Right now, caller number 7 rips us off at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Do you have that phone number right? Because I think they were telling us we're going to have to change that number
for
the last 2 days here. On Friday?
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you.
So we're still good.
Okay. Yeah, it's working, as I just said it. Okay.
Perfect. As you said.
Now, you win a 20... Listen to this. Win 20 sports fan audiobooks from America's top-selling sports author, highlighting Harry Carey, Mike Ditka, Ron Santo, and so much more. The sports lover on your Father's Day gift list. You get a Ditka, you got a Santo, you got a Carey.
Can't go wrong with that. That's quite amazing.
Order your 20 sports audiobooks for $20 at WGNRadio.com. Scroll down to the feature banner. All right.
Woohoo!
There you go. Congratulations, caller number 7. Right there. All right, can we talk a little bit about some of the other things that we heard and saw yesterday?
There was a lot to take in, wasn't it?
It was a lot.
I mean, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see Dennis Rodman? Did you see, first of all, as predicted, Dennis Rodman was there wearing a sponsored t-shirt, shirt, Potcoin.
Potcoin.com,
right.
Cryptocurrency that deals with legal marijuana transfers, as they proclaim on their website. Yeah, not missing an opportunity to promote.
Nope. And he talked about how, you know, he's just there, he's going to have some fun, he's going to have a good time. It's, you know, that's what he does. This is what Dennis Rodman does on his weekends. He goes to Singapore and takes part in a...
Why not?
In an historic summit.
Just wanted to be close.
But you could see there was no love lost between Dennis Rodman and the former president of the United States, Barack Obama, because Dennis Rodman said, I tried to do this before, but no one would listen.
And I tried to do that to Obama, and Obama didn't even give me the time of day. I asked him, I said, I have something to say from North Korea. He just brushed me off, but that didn't deter me. I still kept going back. I kept going back. I showed my loyalty and my trustworthy to this country. And I said to everybody, I said, the door will open.
I remember you amazing, saying amazing. That's Chris Cuomo, by the way, jumping in. Chris Cuomo, I swear to God, it is like watching a guy who's just done 14 lines of coke. And it is like he's got that wild. I'm not saying he has done it.
No.
He
I don't
just
know that
looks
he has.
Like a guy who has
on edge. He's on edge.
He's on edge. But it seems like there's almost a purposeful way of just winding up his guests and trying to get him to go because there's a lot of like intensity.
And he looks like he just did like 20 push-ups.
Right.
He does look totally over the top.
he's like sweat is like popping off the side of his head like a cartoon, and he's basically like, I'm glad you're well. No one asked if I was well. I mean, I'm okay. Don't worry about how I'm feeling. How are you doing? I'm glad you're well. Okay. Let's get on it. Or what does he say?
Get to the story. I don't know.
There's something like, yeah. Let's get on it. And he's like,
He's always like, I'm not going to say this, but I could. And then he says what he's not supposed to say. Like, you know, North Korea is dangerous. I'm not going to tell you this, Rodman.
So he says he gets brushed off by Obama. But then...
I remember you saying it. Let me ask you something. Does Tim understand English, Dennis?
It's amazing. It's amazing. When I said those damn things, when I went back home, I got so many death threats. I was sitting there protecting everything. And I believed in North Korea. And when I went home, I couldn't even go home. I had to hide out for 30 days. I couldn't even go home.
It's like a methadone clinic between those two guys.
I think she felt for him there, because that had to be sincere. He just kind of, he lost it based on how he felt he was treated, because he tried to connect the two leaders, that people issued death threats to him and that he felt his life was really in danger.
All right.
Why is he even on?
Well, great.
Come on. It's almost sad.
I think he has more to do with this than we know.
Plus, it's a closed-door meeting. What else are we going to look at?
Right, exactly. Why not? Listen, if you can get Dennis Rodman wearing my mother's sunglasses and
I can't get past the piercings. I keep staring at him.
With the Make America Great hat and that the potcoin.com shirt.
Yeah.
Just the whole combo. It's just, you couldn't have.
My mother called me and she's like, I have those sunglasses. I'm like, yeah, you do.
Did you tell him they look better on Rodman?
Yeah, no.
No, he didn't say that.
But I kept my head up high, brother. I knew things were going to change. I knew it. I was the only one. I never had no one to hear me. I didn't know what had to see me. But I took those bullets. I took all that. I took everything. Everyone came at me, and I'm still standing. And today is a great day for everybody. Singapore, Tokyo, China, everything. It's a great day.
It is a great
day.
This is a historic day.
I'm so happy.
So happy he can cry.
He is so happy. Right. Those are tears of joy. He's happy crying. He's ugly crying too.
And it wasn't fake, because you actually saw tears come down
his
cheeks.
Oh, yeah. It was sincere.
Crazy is what it was. Yeah.
He's doing it out of love.
Yeah.
Love.
Right, no,
there's no
on.
Crying in basketball.
But we're still trying to figure out. But you know, Chris Cuomo, he's got an agenda here. He wants to know, does this dude speak English?
Does he understand or speak English?
One thing about him, though, I always said about him, he's more like a big kid, even though he's small.
Oh, God.
He's more like a big kid, but he loves to have a good time. And I was saying last night or this morning that he was going around taking selfies and stuff like that. And I was saying that this guy wants to be around the world. He wants to come to America. He wants to enjoy his life.
Does he speak English?
In other words, he wants to hang out with Boris.
That's what
he's saying. He's saying, this guy likes a nightclub,
man. Hey, he got the taste of the Singapore club, the rooftop club with the infinity pool and the club music.
Right.
Seeing what life could be like. If only.
But let me just get an answer to this. Do you think he speaks or understands English?
Well, I think he understands bits and pieces. If you talk about basketball, yes, he understands that.
So you think it's about what he wants to talk about? Do you think he's studied English?
I can say one thing. I think people know that Kim Jong-un is not a dumb man. I think he's understanding from his grandfather and his father. I think that he's trying to protect his people. He's trying to protect his honor and everything that has to do with his country. But like I say, that's respect.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And there was one other little nugget of information here.
Oh.
Did you hear from the White House at all today?
Well, yes, I did. But and a good thing about it, yes, Donald Trump reached out. He called his secretary, and she called me and said, Dennis, Donald Trump is so proud of you. He thanks you a lot. And that means a lot.
I think I know where Dennis Rodman is going to be casting his vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, earlier, some of the president's surrogates were undermining him, saying, well, why would we have, he's a great rebounder, but why would we have him there? Of course he's not going to be invited to the summit. He'll be nowhere near it. And sure enough, he showed up. The best was, though, when Chris Cuomo pivoted from Dennis Rodman in that interview, which was shocking as all get out, and then turned to James Clapper, to say, at this point, he's our best resource about understanding the minds of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. I agree.
Clapper likes him. My guess is that when Rodman got back, no one's saying this publicly, but I would stake a significant amount of money on the fact that the CIA did interview Dennis Rodman after he got back to talk to him about what was that experience like?
Of course.
And
why wouldn't you?
And get any kind of detail that Dennis Rodman could possibly remember.
I mean, before now, we really would just see propaganda videos of him, right, that they would put out. You wouldn't have any other real tangible knowledge other than from people like Dennis Rodman of what this man is like.
And then I thought this was an amazing the Trump press conference. He had an hour-long press conference last night that ran in well in the middle of the night, between 3 and 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, I believe, in the morning here. Between 3 and 4 in the morning.
Was it after his Hannity interview or before? I think the Hannity one was taped before.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is an actual live press conference where he sat and he took questions. And I thought, here's a little insight, I think, into the way that Donald Trump plays with everybody around him, and especially the press.
I'm very happy. I'll tell you what. I'm very happy with those two points, the two points you mentioned. But I think you might be referring to the thing that's not in, which is the engine testing site. I think he's going to do these things. I may be wrong. I mean, I may stand before you in 6 months and say, hey, I was wrong. I don't know that I'll ever admit that, but I'll find some kind of an excuse.
Right.
That was honest.
I mean, that's honest. That's what he's doing. He'll never admit that he's wrong. He'll never admit that there may be something here that didn't quite work out. Everything is always going to be a win. And even if he's up against it, he'll come up with a way to distract us or change it, because that's just what he does. That's who he is. It's who he's always been. So that's it.
I liked it when the reporter yelled out at Kim Jong-un, question, will you truly denuclearize or something like that, when you think about... How has that guy ever been challenged by a reporter in his
life? By the way, that's an interesting story, because the Trump campaign, which is run by the guy that was featured on 60 Minutes on Sunday, that was a repeat of he ran the digital campaign for Trump. He was a guy out of San Antonio, Texas, who started his own company and somehow ended up working for the Trump Organization, then somehow ended up being the guy that worked with Facebook to make Donald Trump the next president of the United States, as he says. He's running the campaign. He says, that guy says, that the CNN reporter who asked those questions, who shouted out those questions, should have his credentials revoked. So we're back in that business now of rejecting credentials. All right. Well, we'll see. I mean, it's, the North Koreans are going to lose some money on the big War Games convention coming up in August. But other than that.
Well, you hope it leads to further talks. And this is a first step.
Hey, it's better than thermonuclear war. I suppose we have that going for us. And this is just breaking, too. I don't know. Are you going to have this in your top of your hour news here, Judy? About
AT&T and Time Warner. Merger approved by a judge?
Yes, the merger has been approved against the objection, over the objection of Donald Trump, but it also paves the way for all the other mergers that are in the hopper here. So there
major
you go.
News.
Yeah. All right, here we go. We've got Violetta. We just talked to Judy. Here's Violetta. With Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN, just trying to sort through the crazy.
And part of the crazy, adding to the crazy, we've got a tweet from the president 20 minutes ago. Robert De Niro, a very low IQ individual, has received too many shots to the head by real boxers in movies. I watched him last night. Truly believe he may be punch drunk.
So, and he spelled two T-O.
Complete spelling errors.
The president
too many shots. Yeah, two.
Yeah, T-O. Too many. Right. Yeah, well, saving a character there, you know.
Well, and because De Niro's the low QI individual.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also a space between D and Nero, but that's okay. This
thing, and why does he have time to tweet this out when
he
does. Negotiating a
North Korean?
No,
he's not. He's done. He won. It's all solved now.
Well, he's saying Robert De Niro doesn't realize, this is what he says, the economy is the best it's ever been, with employment being at an all-time high, and companies pouring back into our country. Wake up, punchy! Exclamation point.
And here we go back to the name-calling.
Yeah.
Your move, De Niro.
You talking to me? You talking to me?
What's happening?
Equal amount of blueberries in each muffin.
Exactly. Oh, gee.
He can be intimidating.
Yes. Yeah. It was weird, though. I know. Tom, are you there? Tom,
I am.
Tom Skilling being brought to us by, Permacil Basement Systems.
Yes.
But the funny thing is, if you watch the Tonys, which I did, you know, because my first love is the musical theater. The thing that I
did you watch it with your mom?
No. Okay. No, but I was wearing Dennis Rodman's glasses when I was wearing them.
Oh,
so,
I like those.
And your mom was wearing hers.
Yes, my mom was wearing hers.
Matching sunglasses.
Matching sunglasses. I watched it because the thing is that it's always entertaining. It's always entertaining. You know, as those award shows go, somehow that one seems to pull it off.
It does. Very highly entertaining.
And I like that Sarah Bareilles, and she was hosting the thing with Josh Groban. I don't really give too much of a thought about him, but Sarah Bareilles I like. And so, and I'm watching, I'm waiting for all the politics to kick in, because it's the New York theater community, right? So it's a bunch of rich guys. Right, and then you've got musical actors and actresses. They are very dramatic, very dramatic. By their very definition, they are incredibly dramatic.
They can even sing insults.
Yes,
they just have so many gifts.
I mean, there wasn't a single actor or actress who got up there. It wasn't like, and now let me tell you about my win. Right? I mean, it was just everybody just, and they're projecting to the back of the room, and it's just, it is like, it's like that Kristen Wiig character from Saturday Night Live who used to play Jeopardy or Password that was always talking about herself, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like that actress. These are true divas when they get up there. So it's kind of fun to watch. So I'm watching this, and it was not political. I mean, there were some people making speeches about this is a very wacky political time, or this is a tough moment. We all have to come together. There were things like that, and the Stoneman Douglas School drama
very emotional. The drama club
right came out and sang, and they were amazing. And the teacher that sheltered those kids in her classroom.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, there
breaks your heart.
Yeah, there were some really nice moments there, but then De Niro comes out. And CBS cut away from it. You didn't see what he did. But he goes, "How you doing?" And then boom, he says,
"Right
F Trump."
Into it.
F Trump. And then they do that thing, and you know, Tom will understand this. In television, they've got this. They call the wide shot, so that you can't see what anybody is saying. Mm-hmm. So it's a camera up in the corner of the room. It's like the kind of tickets I would have if I ended up at the Tonys, the last possible row anywhere,
right. The cheap seats,
and it just looking at the whole room, right?
So
and
then. How does that work? They had a 7-second delay. What do they do? They cut to a.
It's a 10-second delay.
10-second delay.
And there's a video delay and an audio delay that a producer has in front of them. A big button. It's a big button. I mean, it's a hand-sized button. And then they punch it like the Family Feud button up on the desk.
Right. You
know, that they
right.
Hit. So they punch that for the audio feed, and then if they think you can still read somebody's lips, they punch the video feed and it takes you out to the wide
shot. So do they take you to like a live camera to cover that in the 10-second delay too?
Yes. And I think there's no such thing as the delay works in phases, so that you can't just hit it and then you go right back to live, because that defeats the whole purpose.
But let's go back to the point here. I mean, the president, you would think, is laser focused on national security right
now.
Did he just have the Tonys on DVR? He happened to go and rewatch it or something? Why would that come up?
I don't know.
He's not going to like what the stuff that won the Tonys either. You know, he's not watching the Tonys because there's nothing in there for him. Ever since Titanic, he has not gone to the theater. When the ship actually sank.
My artist Jennifer Conkey said, "You know, I was tuning. I had taped the broadcast, and she said the De Niro segment was the first thing that came up when she played the tape. And she said, what's wrong with my audio on this thing? You know, and it had been cut out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I read the account. I did not see it. I was watching the two faces of Kim Jong Il with
Kim Jong Un.
Yeah, whatever."
that guy.
With Fareed Zakaria, and so I missed.
That was pretty good.
A chunk of that. That was.
I watched them both. I was able to. I took them all in. I speed through the commercials during the time.
Yeah, right.
So I can get right to it. Even though I've seen none of these things, that the one that won the Tony for best play was that A Visit by the Band or whatever it's called.
Oh.
And it is the director is from Chicago. Was from, grew up in the north suburbs here and then, went on to be this, gigantic guy. And Katrina Lenk, who is the actress, won the Tony. She is from Chicago, too.
Wow.
So it's a big, and Laurie Metcalf won.
I'm sorry,
Chicago.
I missed that. You know, I you would think that I didn't realize we lived in an era where you could tape the thing.
Yeah.
I taped so
I know,
many
Tom. Artists. You're so...
You know,
technology eludes you.
Yeah, I know.
I've seen your weather forecast. It looks like it comes from outer space.
Yeah, right.
And you're sitting there going, I don't know how to work a DVR.
Yeah, I know. Mr. Technology, when it comes to the weather map, can't figure out how to DVR a program. No, I actually do, though. I DVR a lot of stuff. But I'm sorry I did that. And yeah, I'm really sorry now when I heard what went on, because I... would like to have looked at that.
It's probably on YouTube, isn't it? You see all the act. You get to see like all the musicals in one show, and then you go, "Hey, I know everything there is to know about the Broadway season."
Right. Show you might want to see.
Yeah,
opportunity. Because that's how I first found out about the Lin-Manuel Miranda when I saw the
Hamilton.
The Hamiltons.
That there's such wonderful stuff being done. And you're right.
When you go to it, it's done in such a way that it draws you in. Now it's not just a bunch of people, on stage. The lighting and the tricks and all the stuff that they use. It's a three-dimensional thing often on Broadway. It's really a lot of fun.
The productions these days are so beyond what they were even 30 years ago. It's just stunning. But that was quite a moment. And it's interesting to hear there's been a tweet on that. So,
oh my God, Fox News is pushing this notification.
Mm-hmm.
Trump slams low IQ and punch drunk De Niro.
By the way, Ro, I heard you say I stayed up last night to watch it too. I was curious to see
I was too.
What was going on. I don't know. The whole thing is surreal to me. It's just amazing. This guy is not exactly a spectacular human being, and for our president to sit down with him, although I'm all in favor of talking with folks, I think that's a great idea. It should have been done with all the fanfare,
Yeah, I think they demanded the fanfare, and of course, the one thing about a Trump production, and this really was that, is no matter what it is, he's going to say we won. No matter what it is, it's going to be the best. It doesn't matter if everybody got food poisoning. It was the best. So this is going to be. It's going to go down as a moment, as a great kind of moment of political theater.
Yeah.
The real truth of what happened here will be felt a year or 5 years or 10 years from now if there is actually development on the Korean Peninsula and the South folds in with the North. In terms of, they could be two separate countries, but in terms of getting along and demilitarizing and all that, we are so far away from that. I realize the White House never even released that thing that they signed.
Right.
The letter. It wasn't a document, it wasn't a declaration, and it was not.
Well, did you switch back and forth when pieces of it started coming out? And each side, you had like MSNBC with their panel of experts, and then you had Fox with theirs. And it's like you live in two different universes.
Absolutely.
It's just incredible. It's the most brilliant thing that ever has come down the pike on Fox, and then the other one saying, forget it. It remains to be seen whether we get anything out of this. And it's hard
to
know.
Well, the truth is, Fox even acknowledged, because I read all the Fox stories today, because I was looking for, how they were going to handle this, because there's clearly gigantic holes in the difference between the rhetoric and the reality of what happened there yesterday. So even Fox acknowledges that we'll still see. This is a good first step. I don't disagree with that. That at least it's a step. These are both guys who like to be puffed up. So they're both telling each other how fabulous they are. That plays to both of them. Maybe he does come around a little bit, but but you know, the one most important thing is he does not want to be strung up in Pyongyang by his own private parts, yeah. Right? You know, I mean, yeah. And that's like El Duce was, right, in Italy after World War II, right. At the end of, well, after, right. The, you know, the Allies invaded. I mean, if he has any political weakness, Kim Jong-un, and his family will get murdered.
That's true.
Right? So this is, so he's going to do everything he has to do to try to secure his perimeters here.
Ro, you know what was interesting is your revelation, I hadn't heard this, that somebody came out to dust off his pen or something like that before he signed
it. How about that?
And then he brings his own toilet along, and that the food is all imported because they're afraid.
They bring their own food, yeah. Well, that's true. The U.S. always does that.
Is that
right? The President of the United States always eats food that's brought in. By the United States. Now, when they go to a foreign country and they're, you know, oh, we're going to have this special meal that they're going to make, that's often on the menu, and they can do it with the White House, or, you know, the, I guess it's a White House chef or an Air Force chef, does this for them, you know, in the style that is being done for anything else. But the food preparation on overseas trips is done by the U.S.
But this one went beyond the bounds of what you usually see. I mean, you know, the bringing the own toilet, they're saying, is because they didn't want the intelligence agencies to get their hands on his fecal matter, so they'd be able to, you know, find out his health, get some insights into what's going on.
And given his history...
DNA 23, what is that thing? We're going to all of a sudden...
Yeah, right.
DNA 23. We're going to find out the guy is actually Swedish. What?
Right.
Didn't that change the tenor
of
things?
That's an interesting point. Right. You send it off to one of those outfits and find out he isn't really Korean or something.
It turns out that I shouldn't be wearing a lederhosen.
I don't think they accept that kind of DNA.
No.
Don't mail 23 and me back.
Leave it to Violetta to figure that.
Sometimes I confuse the two things, because you can also mail your poop places too. You know, there's like a, oh yeah, you can. There's
what
like
do you
a whole
mean?
Yes.
Only
there's a cancer screening.
It's a colonoscopy thing.
There's a colonoscopy thing where you can do that.
You can do a colonoscopy at home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my.
But it's only for
it's a test, not a colonoscopy at home. That would be uncomfortable, and you'd have to get someone to help you with it, which is and no one wants to volunteer for that.
No.
But you could do a thing where you send in a sample and to a lab, and then that's a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, they said that Stalin had his secret police collect Chinese leader Mao Zedong's stool when he was visiting the communist nation, and he did not want to be a victim of that type of a situation.
Gee.
I like the way she did that. Mao Zedong. That's
dung.
You know what? That's
emphasis on the dung.
Oh, that's what all the kids called him in the play yard, which is why he became the greatest murderer of the 20th century by the time it was done. They think he might have personally had 45 million people killed.
Jeez.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the way it goes over there. And I think that's what Trump is trying to, you know, the one thing about Trump is that, and this is one of the things I disagree with him on. He's a realist, and a lot of people who support him think that, well, that's good. Finally, somebody's being a realist. Yeah, the role of America is not to give in to the realities of brutality of the human condition.
Yeah.
It is to try to rise above it. That's what we have tried to do, is make the world a better place. Not go, well, it's too bad, that's the way these people are. It's to say, there's a better way to do this. And we seem to be kind of deciding we don't want to do that anymore. And that, I don't think, is the right way to do it.
Yeah.
So, that's, anyway.
Well,
all right.
Well put, Ro. Well, these are interesting times, aren't they?
Yeah.
How about it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't write stuff like this. It's terrific.
That's going to be my new product, though. Mao Zedong. That's where you go and
you analyze it and you send it.
You send it in and all kinds of things. Oh,
they tell you stuff.
What did you eat 2 days ago? Here's what you ate. Did you know you had blueberries? I'll bet you did.
Talk about the world's dirtiest jobs.
All right. Let's see. All right. You did the weather, but let's do this very quickly. We're going to
heat on the way this weekend. That's the big headline.
What about sun?
There'll be sun. You know,
I don't like the way you said that.
Well, there's a big dome of heat developing, and that tends to thin out any prospects for widespread thunderstorms.
Okay.
So, yeah. And the next couple of days are going to turn beautiful. We'll get rid of some of this humidity, and there might be an early thunderstorm tomorrow, but next 2 days are really nice with more moderate humidity. So we'll get rid of some of this haze and the fog.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
You bet, guys. See you.
There goes Tom Skilling right
later,
there.
Later, Tom.
All right.
See you.
Let's find out from Judy what's coming up in just a few minutes in the newsroom.
Does President Trump know who he's talking to?
Violetta? DeSantis.
Yes.
Another day of broadcast insolence
look
on its way.
Look who we have in the studio.
Let me tell you this first, though. Oh, keep listening next hour for your chance to win a family four-pack of passes to the 11th annual Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. We do have in studio two incredible legends of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
We have Joe Mantegna.
Yes.
Who is, you know, the heart and soul of the Chicago, the guys who made it huge in Hollywood,
mm-hmm,
out of Chicago. Joe Mantegna is very much at the top of the pyramid of people who's just beloved by Chicagoans.
No question.
And then there's me. I'm another icon. And Tom Dreesen showed up, and I don't know what he's doing here. Tom, what are you doing? Here he is.
I'm at the bottom of that pyramid.
That's the foundation, though.
Yeah, it's very important.
See that? I like that, Joe.
Foundation.
That's real nice. All right, so here, as we like to say in Chicago, that's real nice. 42 Club has honored you, and this is really an interesting thing. The 42 mm-hmm. Club, which is a club that sort of honors the great legacy of Chicago, the last Chicago quarterback ever, Sid Luckman, right? And every year they raise money and then they bring an honoree in, and you're this year's honoree, and then you get to choose where you want this money to be sent.
Right.
Right? And what'd you choose?
I choose Easter Seals of Chicago. They have this autism school right near the Circle campus here, and I've been their spokesperson for, oh God, I think 20 plus years now.
Yeah.
And it's a great organization, and it's very Chicago, and it was a perfect fit, and I'm just so thrilled to be able to do that, and thrilled that the 42 Club has honored me with
such a cool organization.
Oh, yes.
It's a little kind of under the radar. It's like one of those things.
Well, let me tell you, the 42 Club is a private club with a focus drawn from concepts of the Bohemian Club in California, the mm-hmm. 21 Club in New York. Jack McHugh, my dear friend who's no longer with us, sought a means for a small group of successful, charitable-minded individuals to have fun in a private, intimate atmosphere. Over a period of several years and numerous conversations with Steve Lombardo, the concept actually took place. So when Sid Luckman passed away in 1998, they wanted a means to honor Sid as well, because Sid was the most charitable guy you'd ever meet in your life. And so the focus of the 1999 inaugural event became the dedication of a private dining room upstairs at Gibson's called the 42 Club in honor of Sid's number, player number 42. And so those in attendance became charter members. But it's really like 80 guys, and there's women, there's like five or six women who are really like the movers and shakers of Chicago, the people that really make things happen, you know. And they get together privately, and they'll pay like, you know, $1,500 for dinner,
mm-hmm.
and it's real fast. They have dinner, they have a lot of laughs, they have cocktails, and then I get up, tell a few jokes, and I bring our honoree. In the past, we've had Rich Daly, who went to, his charity money went to breast cancer because of Maggie passing
right.
on
of
breast,
course,
breast
yeah.
cancer. We had Gary Sinise, the Gary Sinise Foundation, which Joe and I are both ambassadors on the Gary Sinise Foundation to raise money for our men and women who lose their limbs in combat, and we build smart homes for them. And then, of course, Mike Ditka, Misericordia, Clint Eastwood came in and did it, and everybody gives it to their favorite charity. So
it's a really great, it's an under the radar kind of thing, which to me, that's some of the best stuff, because they're not out there necessarily, you know, having to shill for it. It's these movers and shakers give a lot of money to it.
It's so Chicago too. What I loved about it, when I finally made contact with one of the people there, when Tom first told me that they wanted to do this, and then a person called me from the organization, it was all like, it was almost like they slipped a note under my door. It was like there was no, they don't have officers. They explained to me, says, you know, we don't do this. It's so Chicago. I mean, I loved it. It was almost like we meet on a corner like it's 608, and somebody will like wave to you at 609, and then you come in, and then we'll do it, and then you go home.
So white Caprice is going to pull up.
I mean, it just warms my heart to know that.
This is
the way to do it.
What Chicago is, you know, we've talked about this 100 times, and I talked to Roe about it. A few years back, Joe Ahern called and said, I want to do a PSA, a public service announcement. I was getting a haircut in Sherman Oaks, California. I said, Joe, I'll call you back in an hour. In 1 hour, I called him back. I said, Joe, I got Dennis Farina, I got Dennis Franz, I got Gary Sinise, I got William Peterson, I got Joe Mantegna, and myself.
For the 100 Club, right?
For the 100 Club.
Yeah.
And in 1 hour, not one guy said to me, call my lawyer, call my H guy, said, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in. And Joe Mantegna says, you can use the studio at Criminal Minds next to our studio. I'll set it up. Within 1 week, those six guys came in from all around the country, and that PSA won an Emmy here in Chicago.
Wow.
But that's Chicago guys. Now, if we were calling New York actors, I'd still be on the phone with their lawyers and doctors.
Right, with their agents. Bubby, darling, sweetheart, listen, we're I can't really get Montana for you right now.
Is there, you find there is still a brotherhood and sisterhood amongst Chicago actors out in LA?
Okay,
nothing quite like the Chicago.
We got to talk about this because you opened up a restaurant in LA.
We have a restaurant in Burbank called Taste Chicago.
Yeah.
And every Friday at noon, you know, you if you close your eyes, you think you're at the corner of like State and Madison or something, because it's like all the Chicago guys tend to come in from all years and all. The way I explain it is, if you're on the right side of the room, you've been indicted, and if you're on the left side of the room, you haven't been.
It's really like Taylor. But I know what you mean.
Yeah, but a lot of actors from Second City. We've had it's just been wonderful. So I mean, I really look especially to Fridays there, because it's like all the homing pigeons come home on that day, and it's great. So it's for the expatriates.
And we have Chicago beef, Chicago hot dogs, Chicago
pizza. Yeah, we've got all the food. You got your pizza.
Yeah.
You got
your
beef.
You
get the Polish pizza out there. You can get the Chicago.
It took my wife a year and a half to get to come up with the deep dish recipe, because we want to get it right. If you call yourself Taste Chicago, you better deliver, because you're gonna have people coming in there saying, hey, what do you mean, Chicago? Come on.
Beautiful.
Jay Leno would come in there and get about 15 beefs before he went to the host of Tonight Show.
Oh, yeah. I remember once he pulled in with his car, and I yelled out the window. I said, Jay, get that damn car out of here. You're leaking all over the parking lot. And he goes, it's not oil. It's water. It's a Stanley steamer. And it was. He pulled in with a Stanley steamer, but it was dripping all over the parking lot.
Hey, but you don't need that.
Yeah. No, right. Okay, it was
but
water.
It's Jay.
I checked. It was water. It was hot water. It was
Because the guy, you know, you do that in Elmwood Park, someone's going to get hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, all right. That's good. So I just, you know, so proud. Criminal Minds, congratulations on that. With 13
you.
Seasons,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we start our 14th season in July. We'll start filming that.
That is amazing. You know, it's one of those shows, too. That what do you think gives it that that sort of stick-to-itiveness?
You know, you, if you could bottle it, you would and sell it, and then everybody be happy, you know. But I think part of it is because it's not your typical kind of a crime show. I mean, it's called Criminal Minds. It's about the psyche and the mentality of these people. And it's a real organization. There is a behavior analysis unit of the FBI, which I've been to Quantico numerous times. We have one of the retired guys who's been our technical advisor from day one. And I think people are fascinated by that and interested. And we have a huge female audience too, worldwide. And I think part of it is you can learn. I mean, as silly as it sounds, you can learn from it. There's things within the episodes that you watch and you say to yourself, okay, I can see if I put myself in that position, this is not a good thing to do, you know, and there's that aspect of
right.
it. So I just think, you know, it's all about writing at the end of the day. You know, if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage. And I think we try to
I learned that at the Tonys on Sunday night.
You've come to a lot of FBI agents, and I know you come to their defense recently, as you've seen.
Oh, absolutely. Because
integrity
like,
under attack.
Well, I mean, because look, at the end of the day, you know, when the stuff hits the fan, who do you call? It's the same thing with when the military takes shots, when the police take shots, when the people in uniform start taking shots. But then at the end of the day, when all of a sudden, it's that thing. I remember Dave Mamet once told me the thing about that. We were talking about something like that, and he says it's like hurricane insurance. It's like something you hope you're never going to need, but if you do need it, you're going to need it very badly, and nothing else will do.
Right.
And it's the same thing about the FBI, law enforcement, military, and all that. It's best when they're able to just kind of, you know, everything's quiet and nice. But when it isn't, these people are highly trained. They're out for our best interest, and they put their life on the line.
And when things are going wrong, I mean, they used to say, who are you going to call? Call a hippie? Who are you going to call? Jared Kushner? It's not going to work. You need this. I mean, these guys, these FBI guys especially, and I spent a lot of time with them over the years, the Chicago office, very busy office. I don't know if you people are familiar with this.
It's a lot of activity.
Between the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office, they've got their dance card filled, and the kind of work that they do, very dangerous. Twice in the last couple of weeks, two ATF agents have been shot in this town in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right?
Think about
and I don't
that.
Want to forget about the ATF, and I don't want to forget about Homeland Security. You know, the other uniformed officers.
All law enforcement.
Right. Yeah. Throughout this, federal law enforcement or local law enforcement, city of Chicago Police Department, you know, and we do a lot of work for them, obviously, over the years. But I can't, to me, this whole idea of undermining it because it might be bad for you, the only guys I know who have that problem are guys who did something bad and they don't want anybody to know about it, right? I mean, we know guys like that, I think, right?
There are a couple guys inside that might have done something bad, but it isn't the whole agency.
Right.
I recently, I tell you a great story. Years ago, I used to work for a bondsman when I first came out of the service, Paluzzi Detective Agency. I was a private detective, but I also... I didn't mention the town.
You said the name of the place, though.
Yeah.
Oh, you can ring bell. He's no longer in business. But yeah, there were two bondsmen, and I used to lay chicky for them. It's a long story, but I'd get $10, and they'd go chase these bond jumpers. But now, they were also wise guys from Chicago Heights. So now, years go by, and I'm touring with Frank Sinatra, and there was always that suspect. Now, the FBI here in Chicago asked me to give a motivation speech out in Naperville to the FBI, to 400 FBI agents. So I said, okay, so I'm real concerned. I wonder if they got a dossier on me just because of... I'm just always thought that. I wonder, because touring with Sinatra and being on the South Side with the detective agency and the bondsman. At the end of the motivation speech, they came on stage, and they gave me an award. And they spell my name wrong. I said, I'm in.
You're okay.
I thought they might have had something on me. They had nothing on me.
Joe Mantegna, congratulations on this incredible honor. Thank you for coming back home for this. I know you miss. I know you were back here from time to time, and I know how much this town means to you.
This is Chicago. My wife's from here. I'm from here. Yeah. No question about it.
Thanks for what you're doing for autism as well. I know we've got some texters who are telling us, too, they appreciate the work you've done with Easter Seals, and they've personally benefited from some of their
programs. Well, it's my pleasure.
You
know, I have a daughter with autism myself, and so it's something I understand, and I take very personal. And so I figure it's the least I can do is, you know, lend my name, and if that helps and gets things out there, then all the better.
Yeah.
Can I also thank our chauffeur, Larry Wirt?
Who?
Our chauffeur.
Yeah. The great Joe Mantegna. Thank you so much for being here. And Wilmette, the pride of Wilmette, Tom Dreesen. Thank him for being here as well. TomDreesen.com, by the way.
You can't even spell Wilmette, him and I.
And Joe Mantegna, at Joe Mantegna, of course, if you want to hit him up on Twitter or the Insta or whatever the kids are doing.
It's all over the place.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it.
Good to see you again, though.
Let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Guess what? Joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow at 9:40 to talk about Steve forgot Rose's birthday last week.
What?
You did enough celebrating, though.
Yeah, I don't... Yes. Why are they...
You should be offended.
Steve didn't get you a card? Nothing?
No. No, and that's kind of okay, because I would have a 1 in 365 chance of getting Steve's birthday right. So
well, I put in a call to him, so don't worry.
That's going to be okay. Tomorrow at 9:40, right? Is that what time it
is? 9:40 is the time you should be coming in, according to the promo, the way it reads.
That's the way it... Now, where do I go?
Now, if you come in, you might get a birthday cake. You know, they might do something special for you.
I got that thing. I could just do it for my home. I'm good. I'm good at the time of day.
9:40.
All right. Kev, do we have you? Can you just speak to me right now?
Roger that, Ro. Kevin.
Roger. Okay.
303.
Yep, we got it all. Yeah, we got... Now we
the
got
the eagle has landed.
Yeah. All day we've been trying to get Kevin's studio
after
to work.
After circling for 2 hours, I've landed.
He's made quite a mess in the newsroom, so I'm glad he found his perch. Yeah. Judy's going to kick you out.
I just started turning things on and off and smacking the equipment, and it's finally working, so we're rocking and rolling.
Oh, very good. All right. We will find out what Kevin has to say in sports and Judy has to say in news and Violetta has to say in traffic right after... Keep listening this hour for your chance to win a family four-pack of passes to the 11th annual Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago. That is coming up July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. No big deal. No big deal.
Love the Blackhawks Convention.
Yep. Coach Q. Hanging out with Coach Q. Rocky Wirtz.
Saying what's up to Taves.
No big deal.
I'm sure you guys
are. Is John Fox going to be there?
Okay, have you guys gone?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, every year.
It's really good.
Yeah, yeah,
really good.
We broadcast from there.
Have you ever been there when we're broadcasting from there?
10 years.
Well, I went as just a regular person. Went to the convention, went to all the sessions, I guess you call them, which were hilarious. Like, the Blackhawks are very funny. Who would have known
that?
It's
well produced.
Yeah, it is very well done.
And, yeah, lots of interactive stuff for the kids,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they're very, very nice to the fans.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they got it all figured out.
And, you know, it's packed, but it's so big that it doesn't seem like it, which is good.
That's true. There's a lot, and there are a lot of different things people can be doing. Oh, so yeah. Lines are not long for deals.
I spent a whole day there.
Right.
Yeah. My nephew nearly passed out because he did get to rub.
Yeah, I did too. I was really
Jonathan
tired.
Taves.
Oh, I mean, like,
no, oh, he got Jonathan Taves. Yeah, I didn't get
yes,
that.
Yeah, I like to go to the kids' zone and show the kids how to hit a slap shot. All right, kids. Let me see it stick.
Yeah, back when I was playing in middle school, here's what I did.
I would have played for the Hawks until I blew my knee out.
Yeah, my back's hurting. Or else I'd show you another move.
Hurt my back. Yeah, hurt my back. That's what it was. Otherwise, I'd be here.
If it's 5 o'clock.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number 5.
Before President Trump sat down with Kim Jong-un, NBA Hall of Famer Dennis Rodman had been the only other American ever to sit down with Kim Jong-un.
Hmm.
Think about that. Yeah. The Worm made his way all the way to Singapore. And he sat down with Chris Cuomo from CNN. And, well, this happened.
After all these years, the fact that I somewhat had something to do with this North Korean situation, but I don't want to take any credit. What credit is due. I think we all need to take credit. And I'm just here. I'm just so thankful to be here. I'm glad the fact that this is happening. The world saw it. I saw it. My kids saw it. So you know what? It's just hope for the best. We don't need a miracle. We don't need a miracle. We just need the doors to be open so we can start fresh and make this a better place in the world, baby. That's it.
Take that, MJ and LeBron. What'd you guys do for world peace, huh? Got this Rodman out front. And you kind of believe that he really is making a difference somehow.
You know, all I could do is watching this last night.
Oh,
we're going to play the crying part, right? Okay. As I'm watching this last night, all I can remember was that one moment, I think it was in the 96 season,
mm-hmm.
where he kicked the photographer in the cojones.
Ooh.
There was a photographer. So Rodman gets hard fouled, falls down, you know, on the baseline.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a photographer who's sitting down on the floor, you know, taking shots. Taking pictures, and the guy's got his legs kind of, you know, spread, because, you know, back then you could do that before the whole, you know, man-spreading controversy started. Guys would just sit there, man-spreading, and Rodman kicked him right in his, you know.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Didn't he get a suspension?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that was the first of many that he received from the Chicago Bulls, as I recall.
I remember that one. I remember, didn't he marry himself, and then he married Carmen Electra, and then, I don't know.
He had to pay the photographer $200,000 for that.
Whoa.
$100,000 per item.
A lot of cheddar.
Yeah.
That's how they broke it down.
Here's more.
I remember you saying it. Let me ask you something. Does Kim understand English, Dennis?
It was amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. When I said those damn things, when I went back home, I got so many death threats. I got so many death threats. I was sitting there protecting everything. And I believed in North Korea. And when I went home, I couldn't even go home. I had to hide out for 30 days. I couldn't even go home.
Okay.
He's got his crypto Bitcoin weed shirt on, his Make America Great hat on.
Yeah.
He's got all this.
The piercing, the whole thing. Right.
Telling you.
I fell for him.
If this guy walked into a Starbucks, I don't care how many sessions they went through, they'd kick him out. I'm just telling you. He wouldn't last. He's got that. He had that look like he had this kind of deranged look. He was wearing women's glasses, mm-hmm. women's like sunglasses.
With kind of the gold on the side.
My mother has these.
Small for his face.
My mother has them from my grandmother, right?
I have those. I mean, they're just the round kind of Jackie O sunglasses. But.
Oh, God.
You know, if he helps with world peace, then let's be thankful to Dennis Rodman.
I know. This isn't what we thought. We didn't think this is what the 21st century is going to be like. We thought it would be flying cars. Right, and people living forever, and you know, all kinds of really good things. And instead, it's Dennis Rodman making sure that there's world peace between North Korea and President Donald Trump.
Yes.
Just saying. Checking in at
number 4.
Oh, this is interesting. Senator Bob Corker
mm-hmm.
angrily teed off on fellow Republicans over his efforts to rein in the president on tariffs. Even as other Republicans have expressed some concern about the president's move, Corker recently said some of his colleagues are fearful of crossing Trump, and apparently he's getting tired of it. On the Senate floor, Corker called out John Cornyn, the number two Republican in the Senate, for his comments pushing back on all of this.
I heard Senator from Texas, the senior senator from Texas, saying the other day, well, gosh, we might upset the president. We might upset the president of the United States. Before the midterms. So, gosh, we can't vote on the Corker Amendment because we're taking, rightly so, the responsibilities that we have to deal with tariffs and revenues. We can't do that because we'd be upsetting the president of the United States. I can't believe it.
Pretty really prejudiced. Get used to it. Yeah. Did you, hey, Bob, did you hear Dennis Rodman last night in Singapore? You can't believe this? I couldn't believe that.
Are you awake?
I would bet that 95% of the people on this side of the aisle support intellectually this amendment. I would bet that. I would bet higher than 95%. And a lot of them would vote for it if it came to vote. But no. Gosh, we might poke the bear, is the language I've been hearing in the hallways. We might poke the bear. The president might get upset with us as United States senators if we vote on the Corker Amendment. So we're going to do everything we can to block it.
Boy, he was hot.
It does sound like Barney Fife there a little bit, though, when he's doing it. Yes, he's right. And Republican senators should not be afraid of their own president, of the president of their own party.
It makes me want to cry when I hear that.
They shouldn't be afraid. They shouldn't be afraid of poking the bear, right? That's what the Senate is there for.
He wasn't harsh enough, actually.
What he's saying there, let's just be honest about what he's saying there. He's saying that the whole idea of the checks and balances of the three branches of government, at least one branch is deciding they don't care. They'll give in to autonomy here.
But we're thinking this is the first time this is happening?
I can't believe it.
No, it is not. No, it is not. But when they're voting, it's one thing. I mean, maybe you're referencing something during the Obama era when Democrats would have stood in line with Barack Obama on the philosophy of what he was doing in, like, you know, the healthcare deal. You know, they've been campaigning on that. No Republican senator campaigned on tariffs. None. Zero. Mm-hmm. Now some of them are. But these are all people who are free traders, who the Republican Party used to stand for free trade. And now it's about tariff, and shutting people out and America going alone and screw you. We're America, bitch. That's what one of the White House people said about America. That's our new attitude in the world. That's what it's about. So, I mean, if that's it, and he's making an excellent point. That's not what Republicans have stood for forever and ever and ever. But now Republicans they're afraid of Donald Trump tweeting or saying something about them publicly that would hurt their chances of reelection.
Well, that's true. It's really politics at its absolute worst.
And Bob Corker, and you got to remember, Bob Corker's not running for reelection in Tennessee because he knows he cannot win there. Because it's gone total Trump red. So he stepped away. He's stepping away. So he gets to go up there and say, you know, get all
speak
Andy,
his mind.
Andy Fife with you.
I can't believe it.
Right there. All right, we'll get to your 3, 2, and 1. But first, Judy, what's coming up?
Chicago's hosting the ultimate month-long food festival this August. Visit ctfoodbowl.com to get your seat at the table.
Okie dokie. And top five continues, and we have received ourselves to
number three.
Same-sex couple has accused an Uber driver in New York City of discriminating against them after he allegedly kicked them out of the car for kissing. Get out of my car! I've seen this video. It's really pretty. It's pretty great. I mean, you know, cab drivers have done this over the years. You know,
I have a camera running. Yeah. I have a camera. I'm like, oh, boy.
Well, it might have been warranted. What was going on?
What were you doing, Violetta?
I've never had that happen.
Thing, you know, when they tell you there's a camera, they're trying to, like, deter you. Mm. Anyway, I just don't think this is a heterosexual couple issue. It's just a people being annoying, making out in the back seat issue.
So Alex Evini and her girlfriend, Emma Pickle, ordered an Uber Saturday to take them from the... take him from somewhere in New York. Doesn't matter to us. We live in Chicago.
Sure, right.
One of them said that she leaned over to give the other a kiss, a peck kiss, while crossing the Manhattan Bridge. Oh, it's like a Woody Allen movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Uber driver pulls over, kicks him out. Here's what it sounded like.
Is there an issue? What's the issue?
I said your first time, but don't do it.
You
didn't.
So is it illegal for an Uber?
It is illegal. You don't do that.
Kissing is not illegal.
Yeah, it is illegal.
No, it's not.
You don't do that here in the car.
What are you... Well, are you anyone can kiss an Uber. You're sick.
You're allowed to do this.
I am. No, we're filming you. Sir, why are we not allowed to kiss in an Uber?
You're not allowed.
Why are we not allowed?
It's disrespectful.
What's disrespectful?
What's disrespectful?
To who?
Is it to you? Uber policy?
I don't want to argue with you. Just
you just
my car. Just
oh my gosh. Oh gee.
Okay, I don't think this is what I was describing earlier.
We're just going to leave that. Let's just leave. Turn her microphone off, would you? Anyway, the point is that if you see those Uber commercials where Uber's like, hey, we're a new Uber.
Yes, they've redefined the whole thing. Remember, there was some sex harassment charges and some issues about the people quitting and things like that based on sex harassment issues.
We're under new management.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more murdering of our personnel.
Or raping people.
Or raping you in the back of the car. It's the new Uber. We'll get you where you have to go, relatively safely, and maybe on time. All right.
It's just such a range of drivers, I find,
yeah,
with all of the ride-sharing services.
We're actually checking criminal records now.
We're actually going to do that.
All right. We promise you won't get raped or murdered on your way to your destination. As much as we can make a promise like that.
Number two.
All right, speaking of all this, Elton John is now calling for a boycott of social media until they tackle the issue with homophobia and hate speech.
The things that are on social media are so disgusting that there has to be action taken by the people who own these companies, that run these companies, and say, enough's enough, we're spreading hate. We're spreading hate. And, you know, people say, well, what about my freedom of speech? Sod your freedom of speech.
How do you convince them? I mean, you talk about, you know, the people that are your friends, but you've got Facebook, you've got Twitter.
Stop using them. Then boycott them. Yeah, why not? Then they'll sit up. When the money's not coming in, they'll sit up.
No one's going to boycott it. Because, I mean, that's what everybody is there for. They're there to troll people that they're jealous of. Right? I mean, the people who have to quit Twitter are the people, or social media, or Facebook, whatever it happens to be. The people who have to quit that, Insta, are the people who are the ones who are getting trolled. Right? And then they go, oh, they're a loser. You're a loser. And I mean, when the chief troll of social media lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, you know, it's over. It's over. I mean, this is just all part of the game of this.
Hard to crack down on that, yeah.
I mean, mean is here to stay, it appears. All right, and finally.
Number one.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Get through this one, Ro.
An actor who claims to have the world's biggest natural member.
What do you mean by member?
What do you mean by natural?
Says that it helped him bed A-listers and Oscar winners. And now I'm starting to think, Oscar winners? That's like Judi Dench? I mean, who are we talking about here? Helen Mirren? Who's he betting with this thing? Apparently it's 13 and a half inches. 13 and a half inches.
Is that big?
It's like a baby's arm holding an apple.
Turn off his mic, would you? The kids have to go to their room now. His name is Jonah Falcon, and he said it's keeping him from getting real movie roles.
Why? What?
Because he can't wear clothes apparently that properly hide this item. But he said the real trouble happens at the airport.
You know, I haven't done an international flight in a while, especially since they added the body scan. Two out of three times they're going to ask me, do you have some sort of growth, sir? And I, you know, my answer should be, technically, yes. And it's sort of like I have to explain that I'm, yeah, this is my and I don't want to have to do that. You know, it's just frustrating to have to explain. It's not a weapon. It's not a cancerous growth. It's just an organ.
This is the happiest interview this guy has ever done. He gets to go on television, tell everybody how big his blank is, right? And sort of like, hey, yeah, that is the ultimate humble brag right there.
Totally.
Yep, can't get through TSA because I'm too big down there.
He does confirm it was not Meryl Streep, and that's all he'll say.
They thought I was packing heat.
Nope, I had a baseball bat down there. I didn't.
He's lying like everyone.
13.5 inches. No big deal. I'll tell you. You don't believe me? Ask Helen Mirren. Oh,
why are you talking like that? From the strain?
No, just real
heavy
proud.
Heavy carry around.
Just real proud.
You got back problems or something like that.
You got bad knees.
A lot of weight.
Oh gosh.
Oh my god. Oh,
imagine that guy in the Uber.
Yeah. Get out of my car!
He's got a weapon.
No, it's no weapon. It's just my unusually and very excitedly
large sized wanting to
member.
Leave.
Yeah.
Pull this Uber over.
Right. Oh my god!
It's infected.
That's where the date is calling 911 immediately. I don't want to give birth here. I just thought we were going on a date.
You must be allergic to whatever we ate.
All right. we're going to have to. You know what? It's time to get out.
The top five at five.
Brokaw Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. One of our goals here is to bring the world to Chicago, and we try to do that every day.
Mm-hmm.
And Gordon Chang is joining us. And Gordon, of course, is considered one of the foremost experts on North Korea. He's the author of Nuclear Showdown, North Korea versus the World, and takes on the world, I should say. And no better voice, I think, to hear from and to understand exactly what we saw yesterday than from Gordon. So I'll just let you pick it up from there. Do you think that progress was made yesterday towards denuclearization of North Korea?
Yes, well, certainly it was. There was the joint statement signed by President Trump and Kim Jong-un. I think a bit more progress could have been made. At this summit, the North Koreans got a big victory, and that is legitimization, and that solidifies Kim's rule at home. I think President Trump could have gotten a more detailed statement from the North Koreans, but in any event, we have such overwhelming leverage over Pyongyang and overwhelming leverage over North Korea's two major sponsors, China and Russia, so that President Trump can actually get the North Koreans to do what we need them to, in other words, give up their weapons.
What do we have to give them in exchange, though?
I actually don't think we have to give them too much. According to the joint statement, the United States is willing to give them security guarantees. That's a bit unusual. We don't normally do that. But in this case, it is a bit different, and I think that that would be appropriate. But also, you know, that's not a very big price to pay to get the North Koreans to give up their ballistic missiles.
What does that mean, though, Gordon, in terms of how would you define that, or how do you think they would define that? Security guarantees.
Well, the North Koreans would define security as the U.S. breaking its alliance with South Korea, getting its 28,500 service personnel off the peninsula, and even giving up all of its nuclear weapons altogether. And that clearly to us is unacceptable. But the way we define it would be simple, that they would surrender all their nuclear weapons, that they would give up all of their ballistic missiles long and short term. They would get rid of their infrastructure to build these weapons, that we would have the strictest inspections regime on Earth. And there's one other thing, and that is President Trump promised Shinzo Abe, the Japanese prime minister, on a number of occasions to get an accounting of the Japanese abductees, Japanese citizens who had been kidnapped by North Korea.
You know, a lot of people found it distasteful when they heard the rhetoric that the president aimed at Kim Jong-un, you know, very talented, he loves his people, trying to ooze respect for him. But do you think ultimately that will be a successful piece of this, to sort of shower him with praise and respect? Is that kind of what you need to do to get him to denuclearize?
Yes, though I think President Trump went too far. He went too far with the one phrase that you mentioned, and that is loves his people. Because we know a lot of things about the Kim family. One of them is that they don't have very much regard for the North Korean people. During the Great Famine of 1994-95, for instance, for somewhere between 300,000 to 2.5 million people died. The regime could have saved them all, but instead it chose to spend money on a mausoleum for Kim Il-sung, the founder of the regime. That was hideous, of course. So we know that Kim Jong-un probably doesn't love his people, but nonetheless, that would be a small price to pay to get the North Koreans to where we need them to be.
Well, but let's go back to this creating security for Kim Jong-un. I mean, so basically, we would, if he continues to treat his people as he has been doing them, whether it's forced starvation or it's labor camps or hideous torture and murder schemes, extrajudicial killings, international extrajudicial killings, we are going to continue to create a security system around him while he's doing all of that. I mean, how does that fit into the values of the United States?
Yeah, I think that what we would do is we would not assure his life or his position in the regime. What we would merely say is that the United States would not attack North Korea unless they attacked us or our allies. So it's a little bit different. Normally, the United States doesn't give those type of assurances. But in light of the Muammar Gaddafi situation, people have made the argument that we do need to issue something like that in order to get Kim to give up his nukes. But the most important thing is that the U.S. stick close to its values. And it was important for President Trump to raise the issue of human rights with Kim, which he did. And it made me proud to hear President Trump talk about Otto Wambier, the University of Virginia student who came back to the U.S. in a vegetative state. That was a year ago this week. And clearly for President Trump to raise the issue of human rights was absolutely the right thing to do.
All right, Gordon Chang, author of Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. Appreciate it, sir. Thank you for your time,
Gordon,
as always.
Thank you.
All right, so let's check in with Judy Pilak and find out what's coming up in the newsroom at the top of the hour.
And the mayor says he rejects Airbnb's contention that it's being singled out.
Mm-hmm. How does he feel about Uber right now?
And the mayor has no comment on Uber
today. Even his brother's a major investor in Uber.
Then he will have no comment, period.
The new Uber. We won't kill you during the ride.
Probably.
You could probably expect to get to your destination without being physically molested.
It's terrible.
It's the new Uber. All right, Violetta. Book online at ChicagoBlackhawks.com.
They know how to throw a party.
Jack Hare. Hmm. There we go.
Yeah.
How about that?
Very cool.
Okay. What did we do there? We did that. Okay. Were we able to find that? Because I wanted to make sure that we got this. This has come up a couple times. I guess because of the Top 5 at 5 story, the Uber driver in New York trying to kick out the two women who are making out in the back of his Uber.
Mm-hmm.
Of his Uber.
Classic makeout sesh.
So it was disrespectful. Get out of here.
Cabbies don't like that.
So you're thinking it's not to do with the fact that they're
same
sex.
Well, that's what I thought originally. You know, the kids get in the back seat after a long night out at the clubs. They, you know.
Boris makes a move.
You know.
Puts his arm around. I don't have time. Wife might be home.
It's a short cab ride.
Right.
Time
you're not
is
going
of
to
the
Roscoe's house, that's short for cab sure. Ride.
I mean, I don't know. I think probably I think many people who have partied in the city or lived in the city, if you have to take a cab, you know, at some time in their life.
Something romantic about that late night ride.
They might have done something, you know, they done a little make-out session.
And then they have that rear-view mirror thing that, like, makes you, like, double-sized. It's like things in the mirror are larger than they appear.
That's what we're hoping. But now Uber, though, you know, Uber's on like an international apology tour.
Yeah.
Right?
Is this an ad that's running that you're citing?
Yes, I want to. Okay. Yeah, well, I'm going to play the ad.
Okay.
Because it really, when you listen to it, you're like wondering what the hell did they do? It's like when you know, like when the boyfriend comes back after you know the police had to take
the
him out of the house,
boyfriend,
and
yeah.
you're like, hey. I'm so sorry. You know what? I'm totally changed.
Yeah, I'm a different guy now.
But moving forward, it's time to move in a new direction. And I want you to know just how excited I am to write Uber's next chapter with you. This begins with new leadership and a new culture. And you're going to see improvements to our service with better pickups and ride quality for both riders and drivers. One of our core values as a company is to always do the right thing. Okay. And if there are times when we fall short, we commit to being open, taking responsibility for the problem, and fixing it. And you've got my word that we're charting an even better road for Uber and for those that rely on us every day.
$500 million ad buy.
Right. $500 million?
$500 million, according to Fast
Company. $500 million?
$500 million ad campaign.
All over the world?
Mostly in the U.S., it says, although, yes, Europe and Latin America, they will run ads there as well. They're going to run during the NBA playoffs final. They just did.
And yes.
The final games.
That's where I first saw it.
Major sports events.
Mm-hmm. I first saw it, I'm like, he just told me I'm not going to get murdered in the back of an Uber. Is that what he just told me?
I still feel like the girlfriend that's like, it wasn't enough.
We're not sure we believe you. We're not sure yet. That's kind of where I'm at.
You know, there was, I don't know if it was a comic who said this recently or whatever. You know, when we were kids, we were told to stay out of a stranger's car, right? Mm-hmm. And now we pay to get into a stranger's car. There is something that is, I understand that the technology came about, but not every application of this incredible digital explosion revolution that we're having is really...
It's surprising that not more things go wrong.
Well, it's really, we have digital democracy. Isn't it great? Really, I'm kind of looking at it right now. I'm going, I'm not sure how great
it is.
It's
not so great for you?
I don't know.
Use Uber all the time, though. I do.
I don't actually use it all the time. No.
I'm a big user.
Mm-mm.
I use it all the time.
I use cabs a lot more in Chicago. Now, you would stop and say, well, why would you do that? Because cabs, you know, tend not to be as nice inside as an Uber. Right?
Although there's quite a range in the Uber world. I mean, you have to keep them up to certain standards, but...
Cabs are so much easier in the city, because you can just flag them down. Uber, it's such like a convince.
You wait for it, then the guy's got to decide if he likes you or doesn't like you.
It's just a mess.
Right, the guy's got to stuff a body in his trunk. I mean, there's all kinds of things. With a cab, I mean, the one thing about a cab now, the modern era of cabs, that everybody knows where the cab is. You lose something in the cab, you're and they're professionals, they're licensed. They're going to lose their license. I mean, most of them are. Some of them are not.
Also, you can negotiate the price in a cab. You're like, hey, I have $5 on me. You want the card or you want the cash?
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, you should try it next time.
Hmm.
I only have $3. Can you get me there? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not supposed to do that, but that's a separate issue. She's suborning some form of misdemeanor.
Right?
And yeah.
We have a common understanding.
Okay. Anyway, the point is this, that, I think I was right earlier when I said we just should turn her microphone off. She's suspended for the rest of the day for her behavior here.
I would like to apologize and get a $1 billion campaign on my behalf.
Yeah. I mean, it is weird, though.
It's super weird.
It's very like, hey, we're not just the guys who murder you and stuff your body in the trunk. We'll get you places. And we're promising we're going to be better. All right, this is 720 WGN Chicago. And if you would like to win a Chevy Silverado, you should listen to Steve Cochran weekday mornings at 720 on 720. If you're a smart speaker user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. We have got Judy Palax News being brought to you by HealthfulHome.com. Con Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to make it through a day where half the show is on one side of the river, the other show is on the other side of the river, and we can't figure out how to make the two work out.
Right, and the millennials were sharing a microphone at one point. That didn't work out well.
I'd just like to point out that most of the show is here.
Yeah, well, on the other side of the river.
Oh, no, I guess if we count, though, Brian and Jeff.
Here's the point. The point is that we are stuck between these two. It's like when a family moves houses.
Yeah.
And mom and dad are still spending time in the house. And Aunt Crazy Aunt Judy has taken the kids, and she's living in the other house with them right now.
That's right.
And
I need people to get my coffee and stuff like that.
And it's costing
my locker.
It's costing me money because they're breaking stuff that we're gonna have to fix when we finally move into the house. That's how it goes. All right, listen. Let's introduce you to a young man here, Alex Benayan, who is from Southern California. And Alex did something rather unusual. When he got out of high school, like a lot of other kids getting out of high school, he was like thinking, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably in your head how it exactly sounded.
What am I going to
do? What am I
going to
do? What am I going to do? Right. So you're well out of high school, and you're wondering the same thing. Well, you know what Alex did? He started asking really successful people what they did.
Now, I know this book.
How did he possibly get to these successful people like Quincy Jones and, oh, I don't know, Larry King? I take him out for a second because I think he works for the Russians now.
Yeah, but Lady Gaga.
Warren Buffett.
Bill Gates. Maya Angelou.
How did all of this?
Wow.
And you just asked for interviews and you got them. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. I don't know how you got past security. I don't know how you got in this room. All right. So.
He's good like that. So suddenly he was just sitting here in the chair. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Do we know him?
I don't know if any of this is true. All right. So let's, the first one. Who is the first one you asked for?
The first interview I asked for was Steven Spielberg.
Okay.
Aim high.
Okay.
Hello. You didn't even try for someone sort of, you know, like a B-lister or anything. Oh my gosh. And it worked.
It worked. So the crazy part is I, you know, had no business being in that room. Someone who was organizing an event where Spielberg was at was running the catering and said I can come in as her assistant. So that's how I got
it. So you kind of figured this out. You were IDing people that you thought you needed to talk to, right?
Right. And the dream originally was if I could just go and talk to all these people, maybe they would have the answers that I was looking for. You know, how did Bill Gates sell his first piece of software out of his dorm room when nobody knew his name? How did Lady Gaga get a record deal without a single hit under her belt? These are the things they don't teach you in school.
Right? It's true. You always learn about the success. You never learn about their struggles.
Exactly. When they were just starting out, when nobody would answer their calls, mm-hmm. nobody would take their meetings, how do they find a way to break through?
Right. And Spielberg, the shark didn't work. I mean, that's...
I know. It was a it didn't turn out to be too much of a problem in the long run, but early on.
But, all right, so... Okay, so here's the thing that I don't get. Now, I get why Larry King talked to you, because I think Larry King would talk to anybody. But Steven Spielberg, so just tell that story. So you end up in the party with Steven Spielberg, right?
So what ended up happening is I had spent, you know, months reading his biographies, watching every movie he's made, and when I finally was right in front of him, I completely froze.
Ooh.
You know, my throat tightened, my mouth was wired shut.
Like you're 18, 19 years old when this is going on.
Yeah, and I call it the flinch. And sometimes in the most opportune moments is when the flinch is the strongest.
Mm-hmm.
And I blew it. And he walked away and I sort of lost it. And I walked around the whole party looking for him. And it wasn't until the very end that I saw him heading for the exit. So, you know, I'm running down. I'm dodging waiters. I'm, you know, going left.
Are you dressed as a waiter at the time?
No, I was just in a suit, you know.
Yeah, got it.
And I get there and I just run up to him. And I'm like, Mr. Spielberg, can I ask you a question as you walk to your car? And he swings his arms up in the air and he gives me a big hug.
Oh my gosh.
And he's like, absolutely. And he, you know, I'm walking right next to him and there was a bald man who was talking to him who I interrupted and I didn't think much of it. I found out later it's Jeffrey Katzenberg.
Oh, gee. Yeah. Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm
by the way, you're out of SKG. All right, go ahead. And
so I'm talking to Spielberg and I'm, you know, telling about this dream of how if all these people come together, not, you know, for press, not to promote anything, but really to share their best wisdom with the next generation, young people can do so much more. And it's just all coming out of my mouth like word vomit.
Yeah.
And I finally ask him for the interview and his eyelids like clench.
Oh,
like
bad.
Like is bad.
Yeah. Like heavy iron gates, you know, and he looks at me and he's like, I don't do interviews unless it's to promote a movie or for my foundation. For some reason, I'm going to give you a maybe.
Oh.
And there's some, and then he like looked up to the sky as if he was, you know.
Trying to divine this?
Reflecting on something that I'll never know what. And he looks back down at me. He's like, I actually think you're going to make this happen. Go out. Get your interviews. I believe in you. And he walks away. And then he comes back around and goes, I really meant it. I really think you can do this. And that probably was the most powerful way to start off this journey.
And did you pitch it like you were going to write a book about this or you want to start your own company? What were you pitching to him?
It was the book because the idea was I had some understanding that they probably wouldn't do an interview with an 18-year-old's blog. Mm-hmm. My thinking was, if it's a book, maybe that's credible enough to bring them all together. And
the
share
book
their wisdom.
Is called The Third Door, and it's on fire right now.
Yeah,
out in the green room. We should put that out. But it's actually it's selling like hotcakes, and you're getting all kinds of press about this. Really, it is fascinating. So, because you went to all these people, and then once, I guess it got a little easier. Once you talked to Spielberg, is that how you ended up with Quincy Jones?
Well, what ended up happening is I had this belief that if I finally get to Bill Gates, that would be my tipping point.
Okay.
So it took 2 years to get to Gates, and to my surprise, right after I got the interview with Gates, I got flooded with dozens of more rejections. And what I've learned is that in entrepreneurship, or if you're starting anything new, there really is no tipping point. Tipping points are only available and visible in hindsight. When you're in the trenches, when you're on right. your journey, it's all about pushing.
Well, that is an excellent observation. And that, I think you've just hit on the secret to success right there, which is, and it's as simple as you don't take no for an answer.
Right.
But it is, but the way that you just kind of twisted it is exactly right, which is you don't, if you stop and you say, well, this isn't going to work, it's not going to work.
Mm.
If you just stay saying to yourself, however dark it gets or however dead-endy it looks, you take that next affirmative step.
There's always a way.
But for a lot of people, it doesn't work because a lot of people have tried to approach these celebrities. They're some of the most, they're some of the biggest celebrities, biggest names in society today. Mm-hmm. So for you to get them, you had to also be creative and have some other skills as well. And that's why you called it The Third Door, because you found that third door. You found the door that most people don't find.
Right. What I realized after doing all these interviews over the past 7 years is that, you know, Bill Gates and Maya Angelou might be completely different on the outside, but at their core, they treat life and business and success the exact same way. And the analogy that came to me is that it's sort of like getting into a nightclub. There's always three ways in. Mm-hmm. There's the first door, the main entrance, where the line curves around the block, mm-hmm. where 99% of people wait around hoping to get in. And then there's the second door, the VIP entrance, where the billionaires and celebrities go through. And school and society have this way of making us feel like those are the only two ways in. You're either born into it or you wait your turn like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But what I learned is that there's always, always the third door. And it's the entrance where you have to jump out of line, run down the alley, bang on the door 100 times, crack open the window, go through the kitchen. There's always a way in.
Through the kitchen is how I found it. Generally the way to do that. So
pay off the chef.
All right. Now, having done all of this, what is... I mean, and these are all great life lessons because it is about perseverance. It's about focus, mm-hmm. right? Attention to detail. It's also about understanding your target, your prey, if you will, here. You know, understanding how to win them over to do this because you're having them sort of spill their secrets.
Mm.
So what does tie Maya Angelou and Bill Gates together? What is that thing?
You know, one of the things that surprised me most is that when I started off on this journey, I assumed all of them were fearless. You sort of have to be, right?
Yeah, you'd think.
When I started doing the interviews, I started realizing every single one of these people were tremendously scared on their journeys. So while it wasn't fearlessness that they were after, it was courage. And the difference is critical. You know, fearlessness is jumping off of the cliff without thinking about it. That's pretty idiotic.
I think we see that every day now. Yes, I know fearlessness when
jumping.
I see it. Yeah.
But courage, on the other hand, is looking over the cliff and acknowledging your fears, analyzing the consequences, and still deciding you care so much that you're going to take one step forward anyway.
Wow.
Huh.
Wow.
That's deep.
I know.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
How old are you?
25. No, Violetta, do you not feel bad about yourself right now?
I do.
This guy's 25.
I'm so old.
You're like 100 days older than him.
I know.
Yeah. That's a lot. I mean, get going.
Wait, I have a quick question if I can.
Yeah.
So what would you say your biggest success was? You know, what got you to this point? An attribute that you have.
Hmm. I think if I look back on my journey, the thing that made this all work, in my opinion, were the people who helped me along the way. If you look at whether it's my family or my mentors, every single thing that came through mm-hmm. was through the help of other people.
The encouragement. More.
It was even more than encouragement. It was a very adamant support to the point where other people were putting their reputations on the line. Because I didn't have a reputation when I was 18. I had, like you said, no business to be sitting in Bill Gates' office.
Right.
But the president of Microsoft, who did have a reputation, put his on the line for me to get in.
Yeah.
And it all came down to other people.
You have a respectful spirit. There's a difference, and that, and I think that's missing a little right now in the culture. But this, it isn't about entitlement. It's about working and trying to find an answer. Mm. And I think you were talking to a bunch of people who were always trying to find an answer. They found success before they found their answer, because I think everybody's still looking for the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I get from you, and that is what I get from the book. And the book is a huge smash hit.
Huge.
The Third Door. I'm sure they're gonna make this into some sort of a movie. And you got. And I'm just gonna. So you got to get Soderbergh to do it. It's going to make Spielberg nuts, but you got to get Soderbergh to do it. Alex Benayan, who's the youngest venture capitalist in the world, it says.
How about that?
So congratulations on this.
Thank you so much.
Pretty amazing stuff.
Thank you.
It's really something. All right, so let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A facelift for the old Cook County Hospital.
And Violetta's got the WGN traffic brought to you by Illinois Department of Transportation.
Being respectful, that's the key.
Yes, let's see. Not gonna
humble.
Work. Not gonna work for you. Humility and respect.
I got that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this. Division rivals are getting together, and there's only one thing to do: crush it. Tuesday night baseball: White Sox Indians tonight at 7. WGN TV.
Yeah, no big deal.
That guy was super impressive.
No big deal.
Youngest venture capitalist in the world.
Alex Benayan. He's going to be something.
I mean, he has such a, you know, did you notice right away, positive energy around that guy?
Yeah, well, major. I think that's what does it. He's got that thing. He's
yeah,
got that.
Just right. It just
how do I
zooms.
Get that? Can I get it?
Yes.
Can I pick it up with the book?
It is not
book?
Available at Amazon, if that's yeah. what you're asking. All right. Well,
it's kind of a gift, but maybe.
Can you guys help me? He said there's a lot of people along the way that help him.
I think we've already helped you.
But I
think
I this.
I think
more?
You know what? I think this
can
is about as far as we can take you right now. So, best of luck. That's all I'm going to say. It's great working with you. I don't think they're going to. You know what, Anna? You and I shouldn't go across the river. We should just
no. We should just stay
just
here.
Stay here and move on to let the kids handle it.
Don't leave me with her.
A day or two.
Come on.
Let's see how it works.
Do your parents ever threaten to leave you at home alone?
Well, probably every set of parents.
They leave you
has.
Places when you ran away and you're like too far from the house and parents just turn around and leave.
My parents would just leave me in like the milk aisle and just like go across the street back home. I'm like,
she'll find your way,
people. Yeah,
exactly. All right. Chicago White Sox baseball is coming your way next right here on 720 WGN Chicago.